All right, then, if you would turn to Proverbs 4. We looked about the first 8 verses, I believe, when we were looking at this a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to press on with this a little bit. What we were talking about was getting a grip on the truth, making sure that you're able to hold on to the things that you're learning from the Word of God so that you won't lose them through neglect. We talked about the fact that Solomon was granted great wisdom by God, and yet he had to learn many of the things that he learned the hard way. Because even though his father had taught him great wisdom, he didn't think about it when he needed it. And the big problem that so many Christian people have is that although they are familiar with the truth, they don't remember the truth when they need it. Are you with me? In other words, sometimes folks will come for counsel or will give them encouragement and they'll say, I knew that. And most of us would have to say that there are many things that we know that would help us to behave differently if we could think of them when we need them. But so often we forget and we lose those things. So, what we are seeing here in Proverbs 4 is the importance of getting a grip on what is being learned. And particularly, let's just read quickly those verses that we read before. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. The idea there is giving honor means adding weight or stability or strength so that you won't just be blown away by all the pressures and circumstances of life. If you get God's truth and then you learn to discern the applications of that truth, you'll have wisdom. Those were the things we talked about last time. And this doctrine that he gives us here is extremely important. In verse 6, when he says, forsake her not, he's literally saying, don't lose through neglect the things you've learned from the Word of God. Generally speaking, we forget how easy it is to forget. You know, practicing and living by the principles of the Word of God has to be based on an understanding of our fallen nature and how easy it is for us to slip back into the old way of doing things. I heard a fellow say one time, and I've quoted it many times, there ain't no permanent haircut. In other words, there are some things you just have to keep taking care of over and over and over. We have to eat every day. We ought to bathe every day. We have to drink water throughout the day. In the same way that our body has those needs, our soul also has the need for the Word of God and for fellowship with God. And I suppose that the two most important things that Christian people can do are the two things that we often take for granted or tend to neglect because we've done them so much in the past. And that is Bible reading and prayer. Because people have prayed or because they have read the Bible, they think they can get along without it for a while. Well, that's like not eating or drinking or even holding your breath. Because the Word of God is the food of the human soul. And prayer is like the life breath of the human soul. And if we neglect those things, we will pay a price. We will forget the truth of God and not have the corrective influence in our life that will cause us to focus in the way that we should. Now, he tells us here in verse 7 that wisdom is best. It always gives us discernment. Wisdom, therefore, is the ability to use the Word of God in the circumstances of life. We have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's wisdom. And that gives us discernment so that we're able to think biblically. We know God's ways. Verse 8 says, If you'll exalt wisdom, wisdom will exalt you. If you'll hold valuable that which brings value to your life or honor to your life, you will become a wise man. And then in verse 9 it says, "She shall give to thine head," she being wisdom, "shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto thee." Interestingly, when it speaks here about an ornament of grace, it's talking about a wreath of acceptance. In other words, you've been honored or accepted or acknowledged as legitimately a child of God, and the world will see you and know you in that way. Wisdom gives to you all the adornment or ornamentation that you need. You know, a person who has genuine wisdom is respected and appreciated by everybody who really has the right values in life. We live in a society where people are so concerned about material possessions or opportunity, prestige, and influence that sometimes people really don't understand what genuine wisdom is today. We're not talking about being brilliant or being smart. There are many very, very smart people who don't have much wisdom. But then there's some uneducated people who are very simple in their lifestyle who have great wisdom because they're able to discern biblical truth and see its applications to life. Wisdom is this ornament of grace. And when you see a person, even though they might live very humbly, who has wisdom, that's a source of respect or a cause for respect. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. The word glory there is the word beauty. In other words, it makes a person genuinely attractive to spiritually minded people, to people who want to know truth. Don't you just like to be around people who always are able to give you Bible reasons for what they do? Or when you ask them a question, they can give you a Bible answer. And sometimes, of course, people have great experience that they can draw on, or a lot of exposure to different things that people have done. But if they know what God has said, that makes such a difference in the quality and value of their counsel. And that's what he's talking about there in verse 9. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Hear, lay hold of. It literally means take as a wife. Get married to the truth of the Word of God. Your commitment to the truths of the Word of God should be the same as a man would make to his wife. In other words, I'm going to take you for my own. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm never going to let you get away. I'm going to make sure that our relationship stays right and lasts a long time. That's the implication of the words when he uses that word receive. Get married to my sayings. Isn't that an interesting concept? You and I just need to be married to the truth of the Bible, to have that kind of commitment and that kind of loyalty and love, and the years of thy life shall be many. The idea there is that you will be sustained all during your life. He's not saying there that you'll live a long, long time. He's saying that while you live, these sayings will always meet your needs. You'll be sustained. The focus is on the word many, not the years. In other words, while you're alive, you'll have much sustenance or nourishment or strength provided for you by the precious Word of God. Verse 11 says, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou..." I'm sorry, verse 11 says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." Now, the idea there, to be taught in the way of wisdom, uses language that's very descriptive because it's the language that is used to describe the shooting of an arrow from a bow. And the idea is that when you pull back the bow, you load that arrow with power, and when you release it where it's aimed, it will continue on that path that it's been that it's taken, and it will end up on target. And this is the phrasing that's used in the verse. When he says, "I've taught thee in the way of wisdom," in other words, I've aimed you and loaded you with power, and then I have released you to the target that wisdom will take you to. Wisdom will help guide your life. Now, oftentimes you'll hear people that will pray, and they'll often use cliches without really thinking about what they're saying. For example, many times in our prayers we'll use the phrase, "Now, Lord, just guide and direct us." You ever heard that phrase? Or sometimes people will say, "Lead, guide, and direct us." Well, there's nothing in the world wrong with making that kind of a statement. But I think if you pray for that, you need to understand how God's going to answer that prayer. How is God primarily going to guide and direct us? Through the precepts of His Word. And as we learn to apply these precepts, they will actually direct us. And that verse says, "I have led thee in right paths," is the promise of wisdom to direct our lives, just like an archer would aim an arrow. So as you learn to think biblically and consider these truths, that will provide for you the guidance that you need. And you'll know whether a thing is scriptural or whether it's right or whether it's wrong, whether it's something that you should seek to be doing or whether it's something you should stop doing. Verse 12 says, "When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble." In other words, the manner of life that you're living in accordance with wisdom will not be cramped. You won't be pushed in and held back by circumstances, but rather you'll be able to be guided through your life by the principles that you know from the Word of God. Whatever path you take or wherever you go, your steps won't be cramped. You'll be able to move freely within the guidelines of truth, and you'll be comfortable in those paths and not constantly being distraught or feeling guilty or wondering if you're doing the right thing and that sort of thing. When you run, you won't stumble. You'll be running on a smooth path. It's a sort of the same thing that we read over here in chapter 3 when he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Now, there are two different words that are used in that verse. When he says, "In all thy ways," he means on every road that you take, if you will acknowledge God, then he will direct you into familiar, safe footpaths. The word "way" means road. The word "path" means a familiar footpath that you've taken so many times and so are so comfortable with that you could just walk even in the dark and not trip. And that's what he's talking about here. When you really learn to love wisdom in the way he's talking about in this passage of Scripture, and that means when you love the Bible and what it can do for you, then you won't have to worry about the paths that you take or when you're running and trying to accomplish something for God. There won't be stumbling blocks placed in your way. Then he says in verse 13, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." In other words, when he says take fast hold, he means to hold strongly, expecting resistance. Now, if you're going to pull something and you have to hold on to a rope and you know there's going to be resistance, you're going to get a good grip, aren't you? If you're just holding something to keep it from falling to the floor, why, somebody could pull it right out of your hands, right? But if you're going to be pulling something and expecting resistance, you're going to get a good grip on that thing. And sometimes maybe you've been pulling something, a strap or a rope or a cord of some kind, and you've actually wrapped it around your hands. Have you ever done that? Or maybe sometimes I always carry a handkerchief with me, and sometimes I'll be pulling on something and it'll kind of cut into my fingers. And I'll take my handkerchief out and I'll wrap it around my hand, get a good grip so I can pull on it. Maybe you've done things like that in your life. Or maybe you're carrying something that's heavy and you'll sort of pad your hand. Why? So you can get a good grip and it won't hurt. That's the kind of phrasing that he's using here in verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. You get hold of it so it won't get away from you. And make sure that you're going to grab it and hang on to it. Let her not go, he says. This discipline, this correction, this chastening that comes through the Word of God that he's been talking about all through here, don't relax your grip on it. The word instruction there means chastening or discipline or correction. Don't relax your grip and guard with fidelity this thing that's going to sustain you. She is your life. Just like make sure your airway is open so you can breathe. You know, make sure you have everything that you need to keep yourself spiritually alive as well. And the truths of the Word of God are what you need. So you get hold of them, you don't relax your grip, and you realize that's what's keeping you spiritually alive. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And what he's telling us here is extremely important, that you and I are to get a grip on the truth. Now, we'll not take the time tonight to go into all the other things that he says here. But he makes negative statements in verses 14 through 19. And then there's a restatement in verses 20 through 22 and a final statement in verses 23 through 27. Look at these verses together. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more in unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That, of course, is in contrast to everything that we've been studying down through the first 13 verses of this proverb. And what he's saying is, you be real careful that you don't be influenced by people who are just committed to, have dedicated their lives to, undermining and destroying the spiritual lives of others. Don't listen to people like that. Don't be around people like that. Don't act like those people act, because their whole motivation is wrong. Some people, it seems like they can never be satisfied until they cause somebody else to stumble or cause somebody else to do wrong. And young people especially are susceptible to this. They say, well, you know, all my friends were doing it. Listen, if they're trying to get you to hurt your life or to throw away wisdom, they're not your friends. They're not helping you. They're using you to make them feel important. And you can see the motivations of their heart in these verses. Then he restates the principle again. My son, you, not like those others, but you, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my saying. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And once you've made up your mind that you're going to have that kind of commitment to the Word of God, then listen to these wonderful truths in verses 23 and following. Keep thy heart. That means guard, like a jailer or a keeper of the prison. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Give all the, if you're going to be diligent about anything, be diligent about your heart condition. Because Christianity is a matter of the heart. Can't remember who said it this way, but the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Like another guy said, the main business is to make the main business the main business. Okay? And the main business for the Christian is to keep his heart right with God. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. People live according to what's going on in here. If you want to find out what's going on in your heart, take a look at what you're doing. I've said this before. If you want to know what you really believe, take a look at what you do. Because what you do reveals what's inside. And you will live according to what you really believe. Out of it are the issues of life. So, certain things you need to do. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Stubborn behavior and speech that you can't reason with. Just be finished with that. Quit arguing, quit quibbling. Put that away from you. And perverse lips put far from thee. Quit telling yourself and others things that don't edify and that aren't true. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Find out what God's goal is for your life. Find it out from the Word. Keep your eye on it and keep moving toward it. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Once you know what God wants you to do and you've got your eye on it, you meditate on it, you think about it, and you strive for it. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Look at what he's saying there. Once you know from the Word of God what God wants you to do with your life and how he wants you to live, to deviate from that is evil. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Don't you get distracted. Don't you let anybody turn you aside. You keep your eyes on it and you recognize that God is giving you his wisdom in your heart, and that is giving you discernment about life. And when you know what God wants you to do, you go for it. And don't you let anything distract you or turn you away. Now, I tell you what, I don't know of any other place that you'll find that kind of sensible, wise counsel than right here in the Word of God. I mean, you go to any bookstore anywhere, and you're going to find people who've written the 7 steps to this and the 10, things that successful people do. And I can't get all these titles right, but read those books. But I mean, I see them all the time. I visit preachers, and I see them all over their shelves. And I see people reading those things whenever I travel. And I think, everybody's searching for a way to get their life worked out and to make things come together in a proper way for them. Friend, if you want your life to be successful, and if you want to head down the right path, and you want to make your life count for something, Proverbs 4 is a wonderful place to turn. And you follow that counsel, and you'll find your life counting for something. Okay?